It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Hi, Jacinda. How are you? Good morning.
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
Good, good, good. We got through the logistics there and the admin troubles. But that's fine. Lovely, lovely to have you on the radio this morning. It's been a busy week for you. Been a lot of talk about moo cows.
There has been a lot, and there's probably a bit more of that to come.
That's an unexpected turn of events, isn't it?
Yeah. So Mycoplasma bovis, if anyone's interested, it's been it was identified in New Zealand in July last year, but we're starting now to get on top of where it's spread to. When we came in October, we straight away moved to an eradication plan, because there's only two countries in the world that we know of that don't have it, and it was us and Norway. But once you have it, it really does affect, affects animal welfare, affects your herd. Doesn't affect human health. There's no impact there. But it does mean that, you risk your farmers becoming less productive, really.
Mm. Right, right. And then a country that relies on dairy like a crutch, we don't need that, do we?
No. And there's the fact that, of course, it does things like it gives cows mastitis, it gives calves swollen joints, it gives them arthritis. It's just not good, obviously. And then it's one of those things as well that we don't have a really reliable test, so it's quite hard to tell whether or not an animal's inflicted with it or not. So it's made things really difficult in terms of managing it. But
I guess when we've got all the other countries in the world have to deal with it, they're not really that sympathetic to the fact that we've managed to keep it out of New Zealand. I guess when you go, hey, what do you guys know about it? They're like, oh, whatever, you got that, have you, about time? Yeah, boom.
Well, we've actually brought them in because they have more experience with, how it spreads, how it's impacted on their herds. And so we're using all of that. The difference for New Zealand is no one else has really tried to eradicate it, but we've got different borders. We've got different farming methods, so we want to make sure that we do everything we can, if it's possible to eradicate it, to do that, and that's what we've been working on.
A massive unexpected expense?
It is. Yeah, it is. Because, of course, under the Biosecurity Act, if we cull in order to deal with a biosecurity threat like this, then, of course, there's compensation that goes to people who, through no fault of their own, the animal may have had contact with another animal. But we're also at the same time looking at how it got here, because if it was anyone breaching the law that led to it coming here, then we need to, we're going to take that really seriously.
You mean someone like a competitor?
No, it seems, I think, probably from what we... It wasn't malicious, it seems to me that something's fallen down there. Some of the rules probably along the way have been broken that have led to it coming here.
So all those people that were driving their tractor up the stairs at Parliament are now coming saying, help us, Prime Minister!
Well, we are sitting alongside the industry, because, of course, and I do think there is a real human side to this, because, when you've got your whole herd might be affected by, and then at the moment about 38 herds, possibly up to 70 farms, but that could grow. Pretty hard, of course, when you're told that you might have to lose your entire herd to try and contain it. So
you're going to have to make the decision on Monday continue culling or what we're going to do. Why is the rush? The rush is because on June the 1st is when people start moving the herds, the cows around the country. Can you explain that to us just quickly?
Yeah, so Gypsy Day, that's when...
Cows are
on the move, but actually they're moving now, and so there's already advice out there for farmers. If you have a restricted movement notice, then you already know that you're not meant to be moving your animals. Otherwise, we're just saying to people, check the origin and keep them in a separate paddock for a period of time. Just, really common sense things. But ultimately, the reason we're hurrying is because people need some certainty. They just need to know what the plan is, because... I've talked to farmers who are affected by it, and it's pretty tough.
Mm. I always think these things are a good wake up call for a country that depends so much on
My goodness, yes.
On be it forestry or dairy or seafood or oil, like for exploration, that sort of thing. Things happen, and we can't put all of our eggs in one basket.
Yeah, we need a diversified economy. That's why I'm quite excited. We've got EU FTA We got overnight, we got the go-ahead to start negotiating a, you know, a progressive trade agreement with the EU, which is
great.
A proper
trade agreement, like an actual one?
Yes, oh, wow. yes, which is, they're our third biggest trading partner, so it's a really big deal. It'll probably take a while, probably a couple of years, but it's been since 2009 we've been trying to get that going ahead, so that's very, very exciting, and so, one of the reasons I went to Europe recently was to try and
get a result,
so that's great, but you're right, we do need to diversify our economy. That's why we've done things like in the budget, we put money aside for a research and development tax credit, try and encourage people to do more R&D, innovate in New Zealand. We want ICT to be a much bigger exporter than it currently is, so we are trying to just take away that vulnerability.
If it was a big movie, and it could easily be a big movie your last year, couldn't it? But in the big movie, you then, look what she's done there. She went and rattled the petroleum industry, and now the petroleum industry have come again and said, things are really bad overseas, we're going to have to pump up the prices now that you've given us a bit of a poke in the eye. Is that what's happened? Because what do you mean petrol prices have gone up that much because of incidents happening abroad? I kind of think that's a load of crap. I don't know, but I kind of think that.
Yeah, well, certainly what I would say is, you know, what happens with oil prices and the exchange rate is far outstrips, you know, a government excise of 3 cents. And so, yes, that's where it really starts.
But is it really conditions in Iran and the situation in Iran going to affect New Zealand petrol prices that much?
We want the ability to really ask that question. At the moment, the Commerce Commission can't compel oil companies to provide that.
This is the thing. I reckon we're getting played by them.
Well, we're changing the law so that we can.
Good job.
We are going to go and have a close look at that for that very reason.
Yeah, because I think New Zealanders are getting rorted by the petrol companies, and I think the sooner that they get found out, the better. Question number three for you was interesting call from the Australians. Our good friends Australia, our good chums, our Anzac chums, saying, look, there's lots of homeless kids over here who are actually New Zealand, who are residents of Australia, but they're New Zealanders by birth, and they're 15-year-old prostitutes and drug addicts and homeless sort of uncouth types. You guys should come get them. We care about them, obviously. That's an unusual attitude from the take, isn't it? And
Over 10 years ago now, the Australians basically said, you know, we don't want, from now on, we don't want New Zealanders accessing the welfare system. And we said, that's not fair. Australians can access it here. We're not going to change that because we think that, you know, we should have a equitable relationship. And so we raise it every time we talk with Australia. They have made some changes. They made a pathway to citizenship for New Zealanders. And I would keep encouraging, if you know anyone who's relocated to Australia, to take that up so that their family doesn't end up in a situation where they have an injury or find themselves jobless for a time. Because actually New Zealanders otherwise really pay their way in Australia. They tend to have higher incomes. They pay more tax as a result. But this is just one example of many where we see New Zealanders who aren't able to access support, so we will keep raising it. And in the meantime, anyone who's been there 10 years or more, my understanding is can access that particular benefit.
So what about these kids, though, these are New Zealand kids. And
they are. And if they were here, we have a youth payment that they would be eligible for.
And support that we could offer
support.
Them.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. But over there, no country that I know of has a mechanism where they pay another country to pay benefits to their citizens.
So what are they talking about? What are the Australians talking about
it's actually the people who are calling for that are community workers on the ground. So the government itself hasn't asked New Zealand to do that. They've just continued with their rule, which is that if you're not a citizen, basically, you won't get that access. But we'll keep making the point. If you're an Aussie here, you do get that support, and we don't think that's fair.
All right. Do you have a New Zealand music request this time in the morning for New Zealand Music Week?
Oh, you've got to be. Oh, I'm feeling a bit Mallow, got a bit of tiny ruins for me?
I can joggle up a bit of tiny ruins, yeah, sure.
That'd be great.
All right, so set you on your way for the rest of the day?
Lovely.
All right, lovely. What's any particular track?
I was thinking one of the tracks I was thinking was about 10 years old, so maybe just make it a little bit more recent than that. 7 years at least.
I'll just chuck one in that I like. There we go. All right, thank you very much, Prime Minister. You have a wonderful day.
Excellent.
Bye-bye.
You have a wonderful day. Thanks.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.